Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. We are having another interview episode in the Human Technology Podcast. My today's guest is Hamid Yayaei. He is Design Lead, Senior User Experience, Customer Experience, and Service Designer at Scania, the Swedish truck maker. Besides that, he is a brand strategist, mentor, business designer. He's related to the Nielsen Norman Group. He is a design thinker, UX manager, interaction designer. So he covers the full range of qualifications, the full range of activities that user experience and customer experience people usually have. And he is talking about the difference between user experience and customer experience. And before Scania, he was at various stations at Volkswagen. He was with IDEO. He is studying. He was studying at Malmö University, and he's originated from Iran, as he told me. So he's a very intercultural guy, very experienced, and I'm super happy that he gave me this interview. I'm having a podcast guest today, which is Hamid Yayaei from Scania. Hamid, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for spending time with me. And I have a couple of questions for you, and it's great to have you here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So I'm always interested in the background of my interview partners and in the background of all these user experience, HMI, usability people that I'm meeting. So tell us a bit about yourself. What brought you to the point where you are today?
I think life itself is a journey, and we are all within this journey, maybe different destination. Maybe we don't know what's going to be the next destination, but we are in a journey, all of us. And for me as well, it was a journey towards the design. And I have maybe go back to my childhood. I was very good in school, in science and also in mathematics. So I got dual diplomas, both in science and also in mathematics. My father is a mechanical engineer, and he was manager of a company. So he liked me to be an engineer. And my brother also is an engineer. And my mother, she always liked me to be a doctor. And my teachers in school, they said they were predicting that I will go to the medicine. When I was in the phase that I am going to choose what I'm going to study, I was a little bit proactive and went to some of these universities and talked to the college students who are, for example, learning medical education, and got some of the books to see how it is. If I'm going to put my shoes, put my feet in their shoes, what I do expect. And I like the human body, and also like knowing about the humans, etc. So I was very good in biology as well. And that was something that I had passion for. But when it comes to the visas, et cetera, and different types, maybe it was not matching what I want to spend my time for. Because I do believe that it is, you are going to have a passion for what you do in order to be successful in that. So it's not all about, okay, I can do it, but you have to enjoy it as well. And then I knew that, okay, maybe it's not going to be my interest. In Iran, which I am coming from originally from, medical education or being a doctor is very, very popular. So all parents would like their children to be a doctor or an engineer. That's why maybe this is very popular there. And we have lots of good doctors, of course, from Iran. And then my father, as I mentioned, he said, okay, if you don't want to be a doctor, why not engineer? And then he took me to his factory, and I have spent a bit of the time of the daily routine of what an engineer is doing in action. And that was also fascinating for me. I lacked physics, for example, but I didn't see that creativity that I'm looking for within that work of engineering. So I, by secret, I have got all of these art books and design books, because in Iran, we have a procedure we have to attend in an exam in order to be able to enter that, for example, course. And no extra, for example, teacher assistance, which is very maybe needed in Iran system to enter the university that way. And then I got a very good point in the university entrance. So that was something that I got me into the middle of the design education. And then I have started with graphic design, and also I have took some of these courses in industrial design. And this graphic design and industrial design was were two topics that I were very interested in that time. And I was somehow successful in that. I got the second position in Iran system for entering the master degree in visual communication or in graphic design. So I pursued my studies. And then I was also working as a designer in parallel. And in my master thesis, I have also collaborated with Iran TV4, which is a science TV. And I see that my designs are broadcasting, for example, every night, even a logo or a design system. Maybe what we are now seeing at HMI in the car industry, for example, for a designer, it's going to be passion if they see their design is applied and implemented, for example, in a model of a specific car. The same feeling is for any designer, regardless of discipline that you are working on. And it was very good. It was stable. And I also was invited to have some lectures in some universities. So I have experience teaching. And I found it also is a very good way to be a lifelong learner. So in order to be a good teacher, a good lecturer, you have to be up to date. And that was very good for me. And I had my a stable job, everything was good. And then there was a momentum that I had traveled with my father and mother to Austria and Sweden. And I have met the professors in Malmö University in the south of Sweden. And I was a little curious, okay, what's going to be the next move for me if I'm going to pursue my studies? And it was interaction design. And 2 years after, I have decided, okay, I'm going to move to pursue my studies in advanced courses of interaction design. And then I have to start from the beginning, of course. I had my maybe stable life already set in Iran. And then I have moved and have to build everything from scratch. And it was not easy journey, especially when you have a position or a level of life or credibility in a place. Then you are starting from the beginning, you always compare. Maybe that's going to be the challenging part. And you have to be very patient in order to reach your momentum. By the way, I am happy about my decision, and after I have studied some advanced courses of Interaction Design Foundation, I established my own company there in Sweden in 2012. And since then, I have worked in different projects within UX and also within graphic design, different type of projects from startups to like big companies, such as some, for example, Iranian entrepreneurs who have companies in Sweden as clients, and also some maybe big consultings for example, Santander Bank and Danske Bank, etc. And then I am just going to, please, Peter, stop me if I'm going
No. Just going super interesting to have such an intercultural personality. And what I see is that there there's a lot of commonality. If you work in areas like we do, it's always on the edge between technology on one side and humans on the other side. And I mean, this is what this podcast is about. So I find it very interesting what you talk about. Maybe you can move on to what you do today at Scania and the projects you work on, if you're allowed to.
Yes, sure. So I am, as I said, it's a journey. So I'm a big fan of like storytelling in a journey.
Sure. Just continue and let us know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, good. So based on the Swedish rules, I could not be employed in another big company. I have to work only for my own company or own consulting company in order to get my permanent residency and also Swedish citizenship. So I got my Swedish citizenship and I had the freedom of choice to have a look at different opportunities to work for. And then I work at IBM iX, and that was very good momentum that I had deepened my knowledge in this enterprise design thinking. That was very helpful. And also I was involved in different projects, for example, within the way that IBM is working with other clients, such as Shell, Lego, et cetera. That was very, very good momentum for me. And then I was one of the winners for Volvo Future of Transportation contest. And then I have visited the Volvo Group for two days in Göteborg. And that was a trigger, maybe I can say that I have got the feeling that, okay, maybe my next move, if I'm going to choose a company to work with, is going to be a focus on sustainability and also a global company that I can have the freedom to have a big picture, as I had experienced, for example, in IBM. And then the same summer, I have applied for some jobs and I got three job offers. I was living in south of Sweden. It was Malmo. So my apartment was close by to the one of the companies that I had maybe the job offer. That was maybe comfort zone, I can say. To choose that. It was like a mid-sized company focusing on automotive services. And the other one was maybe north of Sweden, a little close to Stockholm, Lantmäteriet, which is like a mapping and also geolocation for all the mapping structure. And it was like a governmental job, which is very also comfort zone in another way. So you have a very, very peace in mind, and if you want to have not any hectic workflow. And the other one was Scania. So when I have visited the Scania and I have talked with some of the managers, I really liked the culture, and I knew that I already had my mind about joining Scania. And then I turned down the Lantmäteriet offer, and it was maybe surprising for them. They tried to a little bit have me increase the offer, etc. But I just followed my heart, and then I had joined Scania in 2018 in service innovation, and that was in commercial operation part of Estonia. I have learned a lot within working in agile way of team that we have in that service innovation digital dealer, and applied maybe service design and user experience design in different projects. And then it was a reorganization and we became part of business transformation. And within this new setup, I was part of the digitalization part of this business transformation. And as a service designer, I have tried to connect also beyond my regular jobs in doing design workshops and also being involved in big picture and also zoom in, zoom out. I try to connect the silos, started connecting the silos between the different sections of business transformation as well as sustainability, innovation, customer experience, and digitalization. And then I have these terms as BX kits that maybe the head of the business transformation, he liked that idea very, very much as well. And maybe that was also a golden momentum, I can say, that helped me to grow more. And I have traveled in some countries to meet the clients of Estonia and observe the pain points, how we can do things better. So if I'm going to say what I am doing in Estonia is like, I am applying design with a human touch. I am doing digitalization with a human touch. I am applying maybe how we can use technology in a good way, but also humanizing that as well. That is my passion. And I think that this is very important to when we are working in any field of design or technology, do not lose the main goal that, okay, we would like to make something good for humans or customers. And after that, I have been part of sales and marketing in customer experience section and service portfolio and delivery part of sales and marketing. And I have worked in different projects, and the latest one was contracted services, which is a new system for the maybe previous system that we have for a long time in Estonia, a little bit modern architecture, cloud-based, and part of the like another retail ecosystem, which is previously called Digital Dealer. And then I was also invited for an in loaning, as we say here, to loan me from sales and marketing to innovation office in research and development part of Estonia to being involved in a strategic design, which was maybe also a lot of good learning for me, because I think in big enterprises, what is very important is going to be very natural that you are going to end up to work in your silos. And then as a designer, if you can find a way to connect these silos, it's going to be the best beneficial maybe act or delivery for a company. Usually in maybe sales and marketing and commercial operations, we were in touch maybe in the current market, the current customers, and in R&D is a more foresight and also what is coming next. And if we can bridge these two, it can be a perfect situation for any project. And within that, I have been also being involved in some of the projects to see how we can collaborate and use these two eyesight and two perspectives together to excellence the projects, and also focusing on the transportation ecosystem, because I do believe that in each department, they have their own language. And in order to make it understandable for different departments, we have to come with a common language that works within the company. That is something that I am also working on. And yes, this is maybe what I am doing at Estonia as a senior UX, CX service designer, a strategic designer, different topics that is related to the design, and trying to also highlight the importance of design thinking and design doing. And that's why what I have done, maybe we had recently an Agile Week, which was very successful, supported with the CEO, by the CEO of the company, as well. He was also part of this speakers in Agile Week. And I tried also to a little bit highlight the design thinking and doing in parallel of the Agile as well, because maybe in Agile, we are very much focusing on doing the solutions, but in design thinking, we also a little bit highlighting the problem itself in advance. So if we can combine these two, it can be a very good way of working. Yes, so this is maybe the story so far.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, that was tons of information already. So you answered a couple of other questions I have here on my list. Excellent. Just one quick one. If you talk about the clients of Scania that you work with or that you consult, who is the client of Scania? Is it the companies that own the trucks? Is it the drivers? Is it owner-driver concepts? Who is your target audience? Let's put it that way.
When it comes to the Scania, I think Scania is focusing on the customer's business as well. So it shall be a business that can be profitable for the customers in order for us to be sustainable in business as well. So I think it's a different, we have a Traton Group in Volkswagen Group, a mix of Scania, MAN, and Rio, and also Volkswagen trucks part. And Scania maybe is a premium brand, is very pioneer in every aspect maybe in the group. But when it comes to the customers, for example, in R&D, we have a focus on how we are thinking about maybe the customers of the customers as well. And this is a little bit beyond the typical end customers only. So for example, in city, imagine that a Stockholm city itself can be a client. And we have maybe different companies, transportation companies in different areas that they can also be considered as a client. They have a fleet of different, for example, buses and trucks. And the driver maybe sometimes is not necessarily the owner of the truck doing the service of like being employed by another transport company. So the setup is more complex when it comes to the customers. And as well, Scania is a global company. So sometimes what I can say is like our people who are working with the maintenance and services, all of these trucks and buses shall be maintained. So it's not only about the products, also about services as well. And those colleagues are somehow our customers as well, because we provide some services that they can use in order to do their job done as well. So we have different levels of customers, I can say. And about talking about the users and customers, it can be in high level or it can be like the end user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is what I find so super interesting. I had a project with a truck and bus company here out of Germany lately. And this is exactly the situation I found there. I mean, you have maybe the cities that buy the buses, or you have the big trucking cargo companies that buy the trucks, and then you have the drivers. And if you talk about buses, we talk about passengers as well. And all of them have a certain amount of experience, and all of them need to be satisfied with the technology that that you provide.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question. You talk a lot about customer experience. I'm talking about usability, user experience, and HMI. You use the term customer experience. Explain us from our point of view. Take us a little into your view that you have on what is specific for customer experience and how does it differ from user experience.
Yeah, I think maybe I am a big fan of Don Nerman, and that this maybe started from my involvement in Interaction Design Foundation collaboration since 2013 till now that I'm continuing that. So I think when it comes to user experience or customer experience, it's not maybe, okay, I am interacting with a specific application. I'm interacting with a specific product. It's more about any experience that we have in the life. We can consider that as an experience. And sometimes maybe the terminologies are going to be confusing. Still, it's not very clear for some people what is user experience and what is service design, what is, for example, customer experience. But we know that when it comes to our own experience in interacting with different touch points, it can be when we visit a store to buy a product, or when we are using a product it can be a mobile phone, for example, when we are using a mobile phone. Our experience can be a very, very important part of our loyalty as a user, as a customer, to continue considering using the same product or service or the same brand in future or not. And I think this is the important factor. We can call it anything, customer experience, consumer experience, as they have this terminology, maybe more used in Northern America. But in general, in Estonia, if I'm going to focus on, we have customer first as our core value. And it has a heritage of more than 130 years. The company is working and having always this customer first as the core value. So what I can say that no matter what, we had always tried to have this customer at the heart of our work. But if we are going to focus on the recent years, maybe because of the digitalization and digital services, especially after this pandemic, the user experience part as well, or digital user experience as well, highlighted more. I can say customer experience is maybe broader compared to the user experience in some way, if you are going to make it make a difference between them, maybe in user experience, how I am interacting with the dashboard or screen in my vehicle as a driver can be part of this physical, maybe user interface or physical user experience. And as a technician, if I'm using a service on a screen, this specific service is on cloud, I am using a different browser or different devices, but I am focusing to doing a task done. This is more related to digital user experience. And when it comes to the customer experience, I think it is somehow a bridge between different departments. Sales, marketing, purchase, every touch point that the customer, it can be as like a big customer, as we talked before, like a high level or like an end customer, has any interaction with the company. And sometimes some companies are using some third-party companies that can be also part of the customer experience because it is more related to the brand experience, how you perceive the brand. That can be very crucial in customer experience. So I can say user experience maybe is more focusing on zoom in, but customer experience is a little bit zoom out and see the big picture. What kind of my journey as a customer? Any touch point that I'm interacting with that is related to this brand. I can bring this example. For example, I am using an internet provider. While I am using the internet, if the internet connection is not good, I am not happy about the service, I try to call. Maybe they are using different services like chatbot, for example. If the chatbot is not practical, it's not helping me as a customer to address and raise my concern to the right person, necessarily having a chatbot as a technology or as something is not going to be helpful for me. It can be part of this bad customer experience, but maybe user experience of the chatbot is very good. So it is very good, maybe designed that everything works well, but it is not concerning addressing my problem. So I can say that it is more related about understanding and empathizing with the customer's main pain point. I would like to address something, and maybe my aim is just to highlight that part. And even when I am going to be in the queue line for customer service, that can be the length of that period can be one part, but more important, the person that I am talking to is gonna be very crucial as well. I am talking to someone, but I don't know if the person, maybe even sometimes they say their name, sometimes they don't say their name. If they say something to me, I do consider that as a promise from that company. Okay, we will fix it by this time. And if it is not going to be fixed by that time, I have a bad or worse customer experience. And then maybe I try to call again, and then they're asking me, okay, do you know what was the name of the person? And they have no history, for example. What was the communication from the customer side to that? So the customer shall go to explain everything, a story from the scratch. That can be also part of the bad customer experience. Why? If a good agent, for example, can resolve it fast, even I was waiting a little bit more, the way that they treated me and also they kept that promise can create a good customer experience. Even so, I have suffered from like a bad momentum in maybe a bad connection in a period of the time. I can say sometimes invisible customer experience is also some good topic. So if you have maybe the focus on customer service, and if you don't need to be in touch with the customer service so much, that does not mean that we have a bad customer experience. Because maybe this invisible interaction and sometimes can be perceived as good customer experience, but in paradox, sometimes it can be in a way that a customer can be disappointed about contacting the company, then give it up. So this is also a very good topic. Maybe can be another separate topic to discuss when it comes to relation to customer experience and customer service. But in general, I can say the customer experience and user experience are very well connected. We cannot say that they are separate. I am also a mentor, one of the mentors for the UX certified persons at Nielsen Norman Group. And that is maybe a pioneer company when it comes to the user experience education and also teaching the designers to learn the business language and at the very high level when it comes to the UX maturity, but they are covering service design, customer experience, everything. So we cannot say that, okay, because we have the name of the UX or CX, it is not related to each other. It is very well related to each other. And I think the UX, specifically as after this pandemic situation and previously as well, but now it's going to be very, very important and a very important part of the customer experience co-creation, a good customer experience co-creation, I think I can say.
Yeah. So what I learned from you now, I would say, okay, user experience is a part of the customer experience, but user experience is more device focused, is more on technological artifacts, whereas customer experience is more on the entire ecosystem and the entire services and the cognition of services. Could you agree to that?
In a way, yes, and in a way, no. Because as I mentioned before, as Don Norman says, when we are defining the user experience, what is the experience? I think user experience, even our life, we are the user, for example, and we are experiencing that, and not necessarily the people who have lived in the era that was no digital devices, that they don't have experienced the life, for example, or they didn't have the user experience. I think the momentum that the human that invented the wheel, for example, they try to interact with that. So that can be also part of the user experience. But in order to make it more tangible for audience, to a little bit distinguish between the UX and CX, yes, I agree with you. So it can be a good example how we can see the UX and CX. So maybe CX a little bit broader compared to the UX.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. What's next? So the my listeners are very interested in what is the future that we have in the relationship between humans, technologies, and the experiences we have in this globalized and highly technological world. So what are your ideas about the future automotive truck HMIs? What will be customer experiences of the future in, let's say, 5 years from now? How do you see this?
I am a big fan of like ambiguity. Sometimes we don't know what's going to be the next, so we have to be very flexible. But of course, we have to have some strategies and to be prepared as a company what comes next, and be flexible to be agile when it is needed to adopt. But sometimes I can say that when it comes to the future, we have to divide it in different phases. Okay, maybe 2030 can be one part of the future as the near future, but we can have 3,500, for example, the year 3,500 part of the future, while we can have like 9,999 as another year for the future. So it's very, very broad. And the same applies to the past. Okay, sometimes when we are referring addressing the past, we have to learn from the past. What we mean by past or before pandemic situation, for example, or like the very, very before that. But I think what comes next in near future of automotive industry right now is a little bit more focused on autonomous and also electrification. Sustainability is going to be very, very important. And I am happy that, for example, in Scania, we are having this sustainability leadership in the heart of the business. We have this science target. We try to see this, even if we are thinking about the customer satisfaction in future or in near future, as we are talking about, maybe technology-wise, many companies going to be look alike and technology advanced, and maybe specifically with electrification, many products maybe can look like the same. But then the culture of the company or the brand can play an important role, how a customer perceive that brand. For example, even Apple, they are highlighting a lot right now the sustainability and what is going to be perceived by Apple. Maybe technology-wise, sometimes they are not a pioneer compared to other brands such as Samsung, for example. But they are looking for the right momentum, like safe maybe movements. So not necessarily being the first is the best, but try to have a balancing between the good technology and user experience or customer experience, and also being ready for the future. But when it comes to automotive industry, we have this term. Okay, we in Scania, I can say we ACE it. ACE stands for autonomous, and connectivity, and also electrification. These are the three things that I can say is going to be more advanced, and we can see a lot of more shift towards that in the transport ecosystem. And also, it can be very challenging how we are going to do this shift, because some countries, they are already considering sustainability in their plans. They try to support the companies for preparing the infrastructure. Otherwise, it's going to be a little bit challenging in some countries that they are not prepared for in this shift. But anyway, it's like the mobile phones. So maybe before 20 years, maybe it was another situation. But right now, maybe mobile devices is very, very popular, even in like every country that we could not imagine that they could have someday this device. So that is something that I can say, autonomous connectivity and electrification is going to be more and more accelerated in near future. And I think technology-wise, as I said before, it's going to be a very tough competition, but they can look like maybe the same. It's like the mobile phones, if you can see right now. If I go to the market right now, I can choose a lot of different mobile phones. Maybe most of them, they are doing the same thing, but it's about the experience and also the ecosystem. If I am going to choose the one or one brand over the other brand. And that's why the importance of the culture of the company and the brand experience is very, very important in future.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that, particularly on the brand experience. It's interesting that you use the expression ACE to describe the megatrends for automated, connected, and electric. So I'm using the expression CASE for connected, automated, shared, and electric. But mm-hmm. I think those are the big points. And one of my latest past podcast episodes, I talked about adding an N, like new devices that we need, particularly for, let's say, personal small range mobility, things like electric scooters. And so maybe we have to expand the ACE or the CASE to CASEN or whatever you do with the N, wherever you put it into the acronym. Okay. Thanks a lot, Hamid. We have already reached the end of our time. So one last question. Is there anything you want to tell my listeners? Any piece of knowledge or wisdom you want to drop to the people listening to us?
I can say in general, I can say sometimes we are so much in different projects. I think in different companies that we are working in, sometimes it's going to be very, very beneficial for every brand and also the customers in general. We are shifting from ecosystem to ecosystem. So that can be in any country government as well. So sometimes the parties are like the competitors to each other, and then it can be a little bit more ecosystem instead of like the ecosystem to see their whole people or the whole picture. I can see that maybe in order to create a better planet for the people, and also consider our profitability in order to make it sustainable, we have to see it as a co-creation. And that is very important part of making the world better. And then in order to do that, we have to be open to criticism. And if someone criticizes, we try to not isolate or exclude, because it's very easy to be praised, and we can also have lots of events to praise something. But in big picture, those criticized can help to better co-create the future. So I can say teamwork is a key, and also inclusion And for inclusion, I can say co-creation is very important part. So diversity and inclusion is very important. I think that every leader and every manager, they are prioritizing these, they can be more successful for their company and also for their customers as well. And the customer experience is something that we can say can be our mutual goal, no matter which part we are working in. I can say, as design thinking is not only for designers, the customer experience, I see it as a blockchain, so it shall be in every part of company, every part of the department or the government. It can be citizen experience, for example, instead of customer experience. It shall be in the way of we are thinking about the customers and experiences to make it better and better. And my last thing is going to be, like, in order to be successful, I think the best lifestyle is lifelong learning. And I do myself have this lifelong learning lifestyle, and I do recommend it to everyone to see ourselves always curious, like kids, to be creative. If we are seeing that, okay, we reached the top level, then we are going to be static. We cannot be dynamic. And I can say that sometimes it's going to be hard in different work situations, etc., in different phases of life. Be patient, and patience is the key as well for having this lifestyle. So it takes time, but it comes at the end.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I really love the idea of lifelong learning, and I mean, that's why people listen, for example, to podcasts like this, to get inspired, to learn new things. And thanks a lot from my side. Thanks for spending time with me, for giving your insights into user experience, customer experience, or the expression citizen experience that you used, that I have to think about, resonates with me in a way. So thanks a lot for inspiring me, for inspiring my listeners, and stay safe, stay healthy.
Thank you so much, Peter. It was my pleasure and my honor to talk to you, and hope the audience find something useful within this. And maybe the last thing that I can raise is going to be even learning experiences, another part. And also, in order to have a good customer experience, we have to focus on good employee experience as well. And hopefully audience have also a good experience as well. So good audience experience in your podcast as well.
I don't think that there is too much more I can say about this. What I found a very interesting interview with Hamid. And additional information to you as my listeners, I always want to provide the best possible quality in my podcast, and I have gained a couple of very interesting new projects, and you will know about them once I am allowed to talk about it, once I feel ready to talk about it. But I will reduce the frequency of my podcast from weekly to bi-weekly, so that we will keep the podcast alive. You will get your pieces of information, your insights, your knowledge. But please allow me to take a little more freedom to focus on some other projects I have on my desk today. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.